Now Nicholas Parsons has packed his bucket and spade and gone to the seaside.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four individual, talented, skilled players of the game, and they are, seated on my right, someone it's always a pleasure to have on the show, one of our most outstanding comedians, that master of improvised ad-lib comedy, Paul Merton, and sitting beside him we have that veteran player of the game who brings his own idiosyncratic, dry wit to the show, that is Clement Freud, and seated on my left, we welcome back after a long absence another amazing comedian who has his own individual approach to ad-lib improvised humour, and that is Ross Noble. And seated beside him, we have that master of words and language, one of this country's finest lyricists, Tim Rice. Please welcome all four of them. Thank you. Beside me sits Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds is up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four players of the game to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pavilion Theatre in that amazing, delightful resort of Bournemouth. And we have a wonderful audience who've struggled through the heat and everything to come here and squeeze into this vast auditorium and cheer us on our way as we start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject, apt for where we are, plain sailing. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Plain sailing, I suppose, is what all people on the sea look to do. You head towards the horizon knowing there are no obstacles ahead of you, and you think to yourself, ah, the sea is so...
Ross Noble challenge.
Repetition of C.
Yes, you said the C before, yes. Yeah. So that's a correct challenge, Ross. You've been away of time, but you get back into the game. You get a point, of course, for a correct challenge. And you take over the subject. There are 49 seconds still available, and you start now.
Plain sailing can be avoided with outlandish costumes by not wearing clothes from Marks and Spencer's if you simply place sequins all over your body and then dance as if you were at a Mardi Gras-style event. People are not...
Paul challenge.
Well, all the sequins would fall off. You've got to stick them on. You can't place them on and then start dancing. All the sequins on the floor. You know that, Nicholas, don't you?
I do know that, but...
You've danced on sequins, haven't you?
Absolutely, I wear them all the time.
Yeah.
I've got some on underneath my shirt now. But the... But, Paul, it's a lovely idea, but maybe he has a particular way of keeping his sequins on.
Yes, that could be true.
I don't think it was deviation. So, Ross, an incorrect challenge. A point to you, keep the subject, 36 seconds, plain sailing, starting now.
When I'm plain sailing, I like to smear myself with glue. Just on the off chance, tiny little glittery items should be thrown by pirates at me.
Paul, challenge.
Well, you can't stick glue just on the off chance. This stuff sets really quickly. You've got to put it on when you know you need it, not on the off chance. On deck in the blistering sun with glue on.
Well, he's putting it on. I mean, he wasn't actually deviating within the rules of Just a Minute. He can put glue on himself whenever he wants within this game. I mean, it may be bizarre, it may be ridiculous, it may be outrageous, but it isn't deviation.
But he's not doing it right. He's putting the glue on
I think you're working very... Clement, you challenge.
I think on behalf of Tim Rice and me, good evening. In case we don't get a look in.
You will get a look in, don't worry about that. Paul, you're struggling very hard.
You'd have to tell me that.
No. But the audience enjoyed your interruptions.
Well,
so I will
did.
Do what I think you want. I will give you a bonus point for the audience reaction.
Right.
But Ross gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject plain sailing. 27 seconds, Ross, starting now.
Seagull tar is one of the things that you can use if you don't have the aforementioned substance whilst plain sailing. That can be applied on many different...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of applied.
Yes, you applied it before. So you've applied your hearing to that, and you got in well before the end. 17 seconds are still available. You've got a point, Clement. You have plain sailing starting now.
Plain sailing is fairly unusual. Plain flying is the sort of thing that I believe in. Recently sitting in a Boeing 746.
Paul, challenge.
There was a pause.
There was a hesitation, Paul. So you got back in again on the subject you started with, which is plain sailing, and you have 8 seconds to go, starting now.
When Christopher Columbus set on board his ship and pointed it towards the distance, he suddenly thought to himself, I will discover a place...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. And he, at the end of the round, has got 3, so has Ross Noble. Clement has 1, Tim has yet to speak. And Tim, we would like you to start the next round. A nice topical subject, sandbanks. A rich thought, but a lovely thing on the beach. Please talk about it, 60 seconds, starting now.
Sandbanks has an extremely interesting history. Way back in Viking times, a load of hairy Danes appeared, and seeing sand and banks, they decided that the place they had landed should be called Pool. They proceeded from Pool to...
Clement challenged.
Repetition of Pool.
Yes, you said Pool, and then it should be called Pool, and then you said Pool, didn't you?
Yeah.
No. It's always worth trying to lie.
No,
Clement... So good they named it twice.
Yeah. But it's still repetition within the rules of just a minute because it's not on the card. Yeah. So, Clement, a correct challenge, 44 seconds available. Tell us something about sandbanks starting now.
When Christopher Columbus set out, he took...
Tim, challenge.
I thought there was a gap there that you could drive,
was a, long gap,
drive
yes.
a truck through,
yes.
frankly.
And he waited for something which didn't come. And so you got in there and you got 41 seconds. You
Christopher
had
Columbus drove a truck.
The first truck driver in America.
That's right, yes. I think we're going too far into the realms of the surreal at the moment. I think 41 seconds, Tim. Sandbanks, starting now.
Sandbanks today, however, is an extremely posh place, frequented by exceptionally...
poor challenge.
Hesitation.
We that... call that hesitation,
cobblers.
Yes. Yes.
It was dramatic effect. There was no gap.
It was very dramatic, but it doesn't work in just a minute. You have to be coherent and fluent, otherwise
and
someone
boring.
Will jump in. And in this occasion, it was Paul Merton. Another point to him, 36 seconds. Sandbanks, Paul, starting now.
Sandbanks is, of course, one of the great old English names. I was lucky enough to be at Sandbank House just the other day, where the Duke of Sandbank entertained...
A Tim challenge.
Repetition of Sandbank.
Yes, because it's Sandbanks on the card.
I didn't know his brother. I didn't know the one of them.
You made a deliberate point of saying Sandbank.
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, you deliberately repeated it.
Yes.
I know.
It's an odd kind of policy, isn't yes. it? It's up for review.
It doesn't work in just a minute.
It doesn't work in just a minute, no.
26 seconds. Back with you, Tim. Sandbank, starting now.
Shortly after these chaps from that country just north of Germany had done their worst in the area, another horde of invaders...
Ross challenged.
Is that a repetition of area? It was a posh area before.
That's right. Well done. Well listened, Ross. So you've got in on sandbanks as well, and 18 seconds to go, starting now.
I have to be very careful walking on sandbanks because the water makes it look like I'm Jesus on top, performing one of his many miracles, many's a time.
Oh, yes, Clement.
Repetition of many.
Many miracles, many the time.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I see.
Clement, you got in on sandbanks for 7 seconds to go, starting now.
I have never been to sandbanks, but I believe there is a railway station which occasionally gets trains as...
Ross, you're challenged.
That was about 25 seconds.
There was a hesitation
just before
there.
The whistle, yeah. Your light came on, so I can accept it, yes.
There was a hesitation?
There was a hesitation, yes, because he knew he'd said something incorrect.
No, I didn't.
There is a railway.
I had no
Where
idea.
Is the railway station at Sandbanks? I just thought it was a ferry over there. Is there
you
a railway station? There's no railway station, is there? There you are. Absolutely. I've been there, so I know, right.
That must be very difficult for the trains, then.
It must be difficult. Straight into the water.
Yeah.
So, Ross, you got in on a hesitation with half a second to go. Sandbanks starting now.
Big Sandy!
So, Ross Noble then was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with others in the round, he's now taking the lead just ahead of Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Tim Rice in that order. Ross, will you take the next round? The subject, oh, it's so apt in the show. A mental block. Will you tell us something about a mental block in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
A mental block is a good way to describe a sphere. If you look at it, people will say, that's a mental block. It has no edges to it at all, and it's like a down.
Tim, you challenged.
He was falling apart at the seams.
Yes, he was, but I think he was.
No, I was demonstrating what it's like to have a mental block. Yeah. So I was playing the game in my mind, you see.
I know. So, Tim, a correct challenge, a point for that, 50 seconds available. A mental block starting now.
A mental block is one of the most horrendous things that can happen to any.
Ross, challenge.
No, being attacked by tramps. That's one of them. Right. Like really angry Ross, drunken ones, you know.
Ross, that as well. I think it's one of the most horrendous things.
It doesn't matter, Tim. Within the rules of Just a Minute, you are all right. They loved what you said, Ross. We give you a bonus point for what you said. The audience applauded. Tim gets the point because he was interrupted, because he was correct within the rules of Just a Minute. You carry on. 47 seconds available. A mental block starting now.
I remember going out for a tramp once, and he wasn't too pleased. He attacked me viciously, bringing on a mental block. I said to him, good sir, are you aware that with your jaunty...
Clement challenged.
I think you call tramps, sir.
I do.
Clement, you can call anybody, sir, if you
wish.
Not
if you are, sir, as Tim is.
I was being...
The tramp would be entirely confused.
Right. Here's one surge travelling, challenging another, sir, here.
It might have been a knight that had fallen on hard times.
The it does point, show a stunning point. Lack of personal self-esteem, though, if you're calling tramps sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you can call anybody, sir, whether you do it...
What about the Queen?
That would be very embarrassing. You've got a bonus point for that. Tim,
it's the only one I can think of, though.
You can call anybody, sir, if you wish. It might help you. It may not. It doesn't really matter. It may be your way of handling people when you come in, when you encounter them. So you have another point. You have the subject still. 36 seconds. A mental block starting now.
A nervous Shakespearean actor in his first play had one line, and it was, "It is," which came after a question... Be that yon Lord Hereford approaching over the hill. I don't know how I'm going to tell the other half of this joke without repeating that line.
Paul.
And a nervous actor says, is it?
That's right.
That's the punchline which Tim couldn't say because it repeats, isn't it?
When you started it, Tim...
wasn't the best joke to tell on this programme, was it?
Well, every joke usually has a bit of repetition in it because you do it, use it for emphasis and humour, as you know yourself. But I knew the joke and I thought, how the hell is he going to get out of this one?
Thank you, sir.
You have a correct challenge and you have 19
seconds. Hang on. What was the challenge for? Just remind me.
What's the challenge?
Hesitation.
Correct. 19 seconds, Paul. A mental block starting now.
So I said to the Earl of Sandbank, I've completely forgotten your last name. He says, actually, it's Sandbanks. I said, well, that's a bit of a mistake because I've been calling you by the singular rather than the plural. He said, that's no problem. Have a cucumber sandwich. And at that point, who should suddenly walk in but Danny LaRue, taunting...
Ross, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was, but Ross...
What is the subject again?
It's a mental block.
Oh, that's right.
You started. Very well played, Ross. You started with the subject. And your mental block is now released, I hope. You have 5 seconds available starting now.
Sometimes if you have a mental block, you can't remember faces, which is terrible if you're performing a face transplant.
Paul.
Well, I was going to say reputation of face, but it was face and faces, so I think that's a wrong challenge.
All I have to say on that subject is, God bless you, sir.
How generous of you.
I'm not calling you a tramp.
No.
I was paying you respect for you.
Indeed.
Ross, Paul has very generously given it back to you so you get a point for being interrupted, and you have half a second on mental block starting now.
Who would have thought...
At the end of that round, Ross Noble has increased his lead ahead of Paul Merton Tim Rice and Clement Freud in that order. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, a bull in a china shop. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The reason why most china shops have notices stating no bulls is entirely because they think that these male cows are going to do damage to the china. Which...
Tim challenged.
Well, there was hesitation, but I was going to have a go anyway on male cows, because they're not... You can't have a male cow.
All right, you made your point.
I didn't, sorry. Want you to have it. No, I was just explaining.
What is this, the Archers? What's going on?
Tim, it's a way of keeping going, but you have him on hesitation. So you have now take over the subject with 48 seconds to go. A bull in a china shop, starting now.
Extremely gripping would be the situation of a Chinaman in a bullpen. But I digress, and I wish to go straight back.
Ross challenged.
If he digresses, that's deviation.
Deviation, yes. You have to be awfully careful what you say, Tim, because otherwise that is, you've admitted your fault. 37 seconds for you, Ross. A bull in a china shop, starting now.
The problem isn't the bulls, it's the matadors, because they tend to swing their big capes around the place. The bull only takes out the china on the lower levels, whereas those fellas in those tight trousers, they tend to...
Recognition of those.
Yes. You had a lot of those in your... dissertation.
Those fellas and them, those trousers.
Those trousers.
I should have said them, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm a fool to myself.
It sounds so easy, but it's so difficult. 25 seconds, Paul. A bull in a china shop, starting now.
One of my maddest business schemes was to put a bull in charge of a china shop in the Strand. I gave him £600 worth of petty cash. I came back the next day, and would you believe he hadn't sold one single plate? But
Clement challenged.
Yeah, I'd believe that.
Clement, they enjoyed the interruption. We give you a bonus point for that. But you have your challenge within the rules of just a minute. None.
He asked.
But Paul, you get a point for being interrupted. You keep the subject, a bull in a china shop. 14 seconds, starting now.
Much more successful was the giraffe in the Tupperware store, but I can't get into that. Because the bull in the china shop had no idea of how to work the cash register. His little hooves pressed...
Ross challenged.
Repetition of cash. It's petty cash.
Oh, yes. Well, listen, Ross. And once again, you got in just before the whistle. 1 second to go, Ross, on a bull in a china shop, starting now.
I've often thought...
Ross Noble was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and has increased his lead. But he's still closely followed by Paul Merton, and then comes Tim Rice, and then Clement Freud in that order. They've all got points. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Max Bygraves. Well, I think he's fairly local. Anyway, yes. Talk about Max Bygraves in just a minute. 60 seconds, starting now.
Yes, I believe Max Bygraves is a resident of Poole these days. I went to see him at the Victoria Palace in a show called Sing Along or What's It. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I can still remember...
Ross Challenge.
Wasn't it Sing Along or Warriors?
Yes.
No, Sing Along or Max it was, but...
Sing Along or Max.
I couldn't say Max because it was Max Bygraves, so I said Sing Along or What's It.
I just thought he was talking about singing to, you know, cheesy snacks.
No. So you haven't gone in...
Deviation, because it wasn't the name of the show.
And it's too late now. That was your second challenge.
Oh,
your first challenge, I can't allow.
Funny enough, he was singing to little packets of cheesy snacks. It would have been a much better title than Sing Along, Max, but there we are.
You've got the subject still with a point. 52 seconds. Max Bygraves starting now.
Keep London tidy. Eat a pigeon. That was one of his jokes, I seem to remember. There's another one as well, where a man was standing at the airport waiting for his daughter to come home. She comes down the steps of the aeroplane. She's got this sort of African...
Tim, yes.
The hesitation.
Yeah, I was trying to remember trying to avoid
it. I know, you're going right back into the past with Max's joke, and some of his jokes did go back into the past, didn't they?
Yeah.
Tim, you've got a correct challenge. 41 seconds. Max Bygraves, starting now.
Max Bygraves is a magnificent comedian and record maker who had a lot of hits, starting way back in the 50s with songs such as Cow Puncher's Cantata, Gilly Gilly, Ossenpfeffer.
All one word.
No, it's a hyphenated word.
The entire point of that song is that it's one word.
No, it isn't. If you look at the sleeve of your collection of 78s, you'll see it's written as two words or a hyphen. Clement listened well. He got in first. Clement, you have the subject. 31 seconds. Max Bygraves starting now.
I once met Max Bygraves at Liverpool Street Station, and we went via...
Ross.
So I was a bit of a hesitation.
I know, it's wicked, isn't it? But Ross, it's correct.
But I want to find out what they were up to.
It's the world of speed dating.
We'll find out later. 26 seconds, Max Bygraves, Ross, starting now.
Max Bygraves is one of the things you'll often hear an undertaker say to his young apprentice. Go over there, Max Bygraves, because we can't afford to have them dug. So he will go out and he will invest in these holes.
Clement Challenge.
He will.
And he will.
And he will. And Clement, you have a correct challenge, and you have Max Bygraves back with you. 13 seconds starting now.
So Max Bygraves and I, Mount Nessing, Margaretting, Brentwood, Chelmsford, Colchester, Marksdale. The train stopped at each of these places, and we talked. Max, I said, Clement, said he.
So, at the end of the round, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. He's moved forward. He's now just beside Tim Rice. They're both together in third place, just behind Paul. Paul's just behind Ross, who's in the lead. And, Tim, we'd like you to take the next round. How to flirt, starting now.
Get your kit off, doll. That's the way to get into some flirting. Follow that up with quoting some wonderful lyrics, such as the magnificent Johnny Mercer song, Moon River. I'd like to give you a little snatch of that wonderful libretto right here and now. Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday. I think you have to be subtle in these matters, a discreet wink rather than getting your...
Hesitation.
Yes, and he knew why. 26 seconds. How to flirt, starting now.
Make eye contact, that's what they say, but that means just look. Don't actually put the pupil against the other person, especially if you've never met them before. It can freak out a lady, especially in a nightclub situation.
Tim has challenged.
Two especialists.
Oh, yeah.
So, Tim, there are still 12 seconds for you to tell us more about how to flirt, starting now.
Often you find that shining wit, and that's not a spoonerism, is something that can be really helpful as far as flirting is concerned. You can captivate the object of your desire by a sheer length of...
So, Tim Rice was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's now equal in second place alongside Paul Merton. Clement Freud is just behind them, but out in the lead still is Ross Noble, and we're moving into the final round. Now, we've got a very topical subject now, Ross, to finish this show on, and your turn to start. It's fake tan. I don't know whether you've resorted to it, but I'm not talking on the subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A lot of celebrities go for the fake tan. In fact, Dale Winton is so orange, if you lick him, he cures scurvy. I have been out there on the high seas making sure that I have...
Tim Challenge.
Great start, and then it fell away badly.
You were clapping.
Yeah, you were talking dribble. I could hear what you were saying. No one else could.
Well, unless you've got taped proof.
So what is your challenge,
deviation.
Tim?
Deviation. He was rabbiting on about the sea. I couldn't hear it, really.
But... it didn't really matter. He kept going. None of us could hear it because the laughter was so loud. You were sitting beside him, so maybe you think you heard it. I think I've got to give the benefit of the doubt to Ross.
Sir, you are right.
Ross, you have the subject still. 47 seconds. Fake tan starting now.
What you can do is smear gravy all over yourself. Unfortunately, this has been tried and one person was licked to death by the Bistro Kids.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of licked.
Yes, it licked.
Was it?
What?
You licked Dale Winton.
You licked Dale Winton.
That was never proven.
Wasn't proven, but you use the word licked in relation to Dale Winton with his fake tan.
Didn't I lick him?
No. Yeah.
If you lick Dale Winton, it's cure for scurvy.
And there we are, licked.
Licked to death by...
And licked is a repetition. It's a tough game, and Clement's played it quite a long time.
He What's interesting is that Ross isn't bothered about the fact that he licks Del Linton. It's just this is whether it's in the past tense or the present tense. That's the only thing that seems to be concerning him.
Yeah.
Well, it was a look on his face, actually, because you could almost get the recall and the flavour. It was very worrying. On his face.
What, his face?
On Ross's face,
all right,
the thought of licking Dale Winton. I think we should move on, really. Ross, I'm fed up with this. You have the subject. Go on. 32 seconds, fake tan with you, Ross, starting now.
Oh, it's me, is it?
Yes. Tim.
A deviation.
No, it wasn't deviation, it was hesitation. Bad luck. Well, no, that's quite right. So it's back with you, Paul. You have a go. 31 seconds, starting now.
It's very difficult to get yourself a good fake tan that will fool every single person. I remember walking through Spain one year. I was desperately lost. I said to the bus driver, "This doesn't look like Wolverhampton."
Tim Chalmers.
If he was walking, why would he be saying to a bus driver?
I said,
The bus had stopped, and he said to the bus driver, "How do you get there?"
The bus driver said, "Look, it's my 20-minute break. I'm just surrounded by dunes. I don't know where I am."
Right, there we are.
It always says you shouldn't talk to bus drivers.
I think that's only in Tanzania, but
yeah.
give Clement a bonus point because I enjoyed what he said. Paul, you still have the subject. 23 seconds, fake tan, starting now.
Hollywood film stars specialise in the fake tan. They want to look as orange or as brown as they possibly can. Take, for example, Farrah Fawcett Majors. She was a big celebrity in the 1970s, but she was completely looking like something that Mr. Jaffa might have produced on one of his farms out in California. It was the most extraordinary thing. I don't know why I married her in the end. 15 years, what a terrible time. Lived in Walthamstow. There's a repetition for you. And
well, Paul Merton finished that subject. There was 23 seconds to go, but he went for 45. And that's because I stopped the whistle being blown in order to see what pressure can go on. But put Paul under pressure, and he goes into the realms of the surreal, which is delightful. You got a point for speaking as the whistle went, and you finished in second place.
Lovely.
Tim Rice and Clement Freud were equal in third place, only just behind Paul. Paul was a few points behind Ross Noble. So, Ross, you have returned to triumph this week. You are our winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Ross Noble and Tim Rice. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me keep the score, blown her whistle so elegantly. We thank our producer, director, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in this very hot theatre here, the Pavilion down in Bournemouth. They've cheered us on our way. Thank you, audience. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons and our team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.